Today's daf is Masechta Shabbos of Zion. We will begin on Daf Vav Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, with the words Amar Mar. Amar Mar, the Master said. The Gemara here is referring to the Braisa that we learnt in yesterday's daf on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, the 4 Rishuyos for Shabbos, which are Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, Karmelis, and Amakam Tur. Midoraisa, one is not allowed to carry between a Rishus HaYochid and a Rishus HaRabim, vice versa. However, from a Karmelis, Midoraisa, one may carry from a Karmelis to a Rishus HaYochid or a Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. But Midorabbanan, this is prohibited. And likewise, the Rabbanan issued an injunction against carrying 4 Amis in a Karmelis, similar to the Isser of carrying 4 Amis in a Rishus HaRabim. Today's daf will discuss the halachic parameters of this Rishus Midrabon, which is called Karmelis. Amar Mar, Avol Yam Ubiko Vitzdavnis, Vaha Karmelis, Einon Loik Rishus HaYochid Veloik Rishus HaRabim. But a sea or an area of open fields, a Biko, or an Itzdavnis, which is the bench area where the merchants sit to sell their wares in front of their stores. All of these areas are places where the rabbim, the masses, do not go. Viha Karmelis and the Karmelis, they are not like a Rishus HaYochid or like a Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph will ask, what is Viha Karmelis adding? All of the other places are also a Karmelis. Yam, Bika, Tzavnis. What is the ribui of the word Vaha Karmelis? And we'll see the answer on the next Amud. The Gemara immediately asks, Ubika Einoi Loik Rishus HaYochid V'Loik Rishus HaRabim? Are you telling me that a place of open fields does not have a halachic status of a Rishus HaYochid or of a Rishus HaRabim? V'Hatanan, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Tahara, is not like that. This Mishnah will be discussing the halachic rishus of a bika, both in terms of Hilchus Shabbos and in terms of Hilchus Tumah. And it will also be discussing the bika in the summertime, b'mois hachama, and in the wintertime, b'mois hakshamim. Let us see the Mishnah. Habika, this area of open fields, b'mois hachama, in the summertime when it is not seeded, and some people will get off the main highway and walk through the Bika. So, Rishus HaYochid L'Shabbos. Concerning Hilchus Shabbos, it has a halachic status of a Rishus HaYochid, because the masses do not go there, only a few people. It remains Rishus HaYochid. However, pertaining to Hilchus Tumah versus HaRabim L'Tumah, the criteria of Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim concerning Tumah is different than that of Shabbos. And therefore, concerning Tumah, it has halacha in the summertime of a Rishus HaRabim. And why there is a difference, we will see in a few moments in Rashi. B'mois HaKshamim, continues the Mishnah, in the wintertime, when the Bika is seeded, then no one goes there, and then it has halacha of Rishus HaYochid L'kan U'L'kan, or as the Girsa in Masechta Taharis, which it says on the side, is lekach lekach, that both for Hilchus Tumah and for Hilchus Shabbos, it has the halachic status of a Rishus HaYochid. Now, to understand the difference between Hilchus Shabbos and Hilchus Tumah concerning a Bika B'mois HaChama, let us see the Rashi, 5 lines from the bottom, Divrei HaMaskil Rishus HaRabim L'Tumah, let us learn it together. V'sveikoi Tor. As we know, the rule is that Sofik Tumah Bershus HaRabim is Torah. If someone has a question, a doubt, whether he has touched a sheretz, one of the insects that causes Tumah, and he's in doubt about this, if it's a doubt that takes place in Rishus HaRabim, the person remains Tohar. Why is a Bika in the summer considered a Rishus HaRabim? The Halav Makam Stirahu. It is not a place where one would hide. Because some people go there. le'inyan hilchus Shabbos, it's not a hilch de rabim, and that's the criteria of rishus rabim, so therefore it remains rishus hayachid. But concerning tumah, in order for something to be considered rishus hayachid, it has to be a place where one would hide, where no one goes in that area. And how do we know this? The suffik tumah letameh nisaita gamrina law, because suffik tumah to be tameh is learnt from Sota. Sota is a woman who's accused of infidelity from her husband, and she was hiding with a stranger, and she is considered Tameh until she drinks the special bitter waters that would prove that she in fact did not do an Avera. But until such time as she drinks that water, she is considered Tameh. And concerning Hilchas Sota, it says in the Torah, V'hasam stiraksiv, V'nistra v'hi nitma, it says in the Torah. She was hiding and she was Tameh. So we see the criteria of Rishus HaYachid concerning Hilchas Tumah is that it's a place of hiding. The Memakam stira Tameh hi labaylo misafik. In a place of hiding, she's Tameh to her husband until she drinks the water. Misafik umikana tadon l'sheretz. And from here we learn the halacha of tumah concerning touching a sheretz, that if it's a safik tumah in Rishus HaYachid, we learn from Sota that it is Tameh. The person who is in doubt whether he touched the sheretz or not is Tameh. But if it is not a place of hiding, then it's considered le'inyan hilchus tumah a rishus harabim, and the person who's in doubt whether he touched the sheretz or not would be tor. So now, based on this rush, we understand the Mishnah. Let us review it once more. Habika, this place, open area of fields. B'moisachama, in the summer when it is not seeded, so there are a few people who get off the highway and walk through this bika. Rishus hayachal Shabbos, concerning Shabbos, it's not enough of a hiluch derabim to consider rishus harabim, and therefore it remains a rishus hayachid. But le'inyan tumah rishus harabim le'tumah. Le'inyan tumah, it is not a place of hiding in the summertime, and therefore it has a halachic status for tumah of a rishus harabim. However, b'mois hakshamim, in the wintertime where the bika is seated, and therefore no one walks there, it has a halacha rishus hayachid lekach lekach, both for hilchus Shabbos and for Hilchas Tumah. But the question that pertains to our sugi is very obvious. Concerning Hilchas Shabbos, a bika remains a Rishus HaYachid both in the summer and in the winter. So how could we have learned in the Braisa that a bika has a halacha of a Carmelist? We see from the Mishnah in Taharis that a bika for Hilchas Shabbos has a halacha both in the summer and the winter as being a Rishus HaYachid. Amar Ula, so the first teretz of the Gemara is given by Ula. Lo'olam Carmelis Havya. Really, the bika is considered for Hilchus Shabbos as a Carmelis, as we learned in the Brayso on Vav Amud Aleph. V'amai Korla Rishus HaYachid. And why in Masech Taharis do we call it a Rishus HaYachid? Lefi She'ein a Rishus HaRabim, because it's not a Rishus HaRabim. To differentiate between Hilchus Shabbos and Hilchus Tumah, where in the summer we do consider it a Rishus HaRabim, so therefore we call it a Rishus HaYachid, but really it's a Carmelis. This answer, of course, is a Dochek, because if it's really a Carmelis, the Braisa on Vav Amud Aleph should have the Mishnah, rather, in Masech Taharis, should have said explicitly that it has a loch of Carmelis and not call it a Rishus HaYachid to differentiate from Rishus HaRabim. This point will be mentioned in the Gemara further on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. Rav Ashi Omer, Rav Ashi offers a second teretz, and now we go to Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. Kigoin de Islam Mechitzas, that this bika is speaking about a bika that has around it mechitzas. It has walls around it. V'chiha de Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. And as Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, notice that Rav Ashi is giving a teretz here quoting Ula in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ula was the same one who gave a different teretz earlier in the Gemara on Vav Amud Beis, which we just learned. And here Rav Ashi is giving a second teretz, which Ula himself didn't give. And the Gemara will discuss this in a few moments. V'chiha de Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, as Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Karfeif, an enclosed walled area, an open area which has a wall around it. Yoyser mi beis sasayim, if it is larger in area than a beis sasayim, a beis saw is an area of 50 by 50 amas. to Beisah is an area 50 amas by 100 amas, which is 5,000 square amas. So if this enclosed area is larger than a Beis HaSayim, if it's less than a Beis HaSayim, then it definitely has a din of a Rosh HaSayachid. It's walled in on all four sides. However, if it's more than a Beis HaSayim, Shaloi Hukav Ladira, and it was not originally walled in for the purpose of being attached to a house, to a residential area. That was not the purpose of the wall. Va'afilu kur, and even if it's as large as a kur is 30 saw, which means that a kur is 15 times the size of two base saw. We said before that two base saw is 5,000 square amas, so a kur would be 75,000 square amas. Va'afilu kurayim, and even if it's double that size, which would make it 150,000 square amas, it has a halacha of a Rishus HaYachid, even though it's such a large area, but since it's surrounded with a wall, it has a halacha of a Rishus HaYachid. HaZoyrik L'Toycha Chayiv, if somebody throws into this area from Rishus HaRabim, he is Chayiv. My Taima, why do we consider Rishus HaYachid? Mechitzahi, because it's surrounded with a walled area. Elo Shemechuseres Diorin, but it is missing residents. There are people that are not there. What Ula is explaining, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, is that although the Rabbanan gave this area halacha of karmelis lechumra to be stringent, that you're not allowed to carry within this area dalet amis, just like you're not allowed to carry in a Rishus HaRabim. They gave it a halacha of karmelis because it's very similar to Rishus HaRabim. It's a large open area without people living in it. There's no houses in it. So therefore, it could be mistaken for Rishus HaRabim. The Rabbanan said that it has a halacha of karmelis. But although it has a halacha of karmelis concerning the chumrah of carrying dalet amis, it still has, as large as it is, even a kur, even a karayim, it has a halacha of Rishus HaYachid that if one threw from Rishus HaRabim into it, they would be chayiv for the malacha of hachnasa, of carrying between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid. So Rav Ashi is trying to say is that our bikkah is a special bikkah. It's walled around, and therefore it has a halacha of a karmelis concerning carrying their dalet amis. Why did the Mishnah Masechta Taharis call it a Rishus HaYachid? Because in actuality, its main halachic status, Midoraisa, as big as it is a Rishus HaYachid because it's walled in on all four sides. Now the Gemara wants to know why Rav Ashi didn't answer like Ula and why Ula didn't answer like Rav Ashi. Bishlam, Rav Ashi le'amar k'dula, that's simple. Rav Ashi didn't want to say the doichik teretz of Ula, that it's really a karmelis, but they call it a Rishus HaYachid to differentiate from Hilchis Tumah, where it's called a Rishus HaRabim. That, to Rav Ashi, was a big doichik to say. Ela Ula, but Ula, my time, Ula yomar kishmaitzei. Rav Ashi quoted his second teretz in the name of Ula, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So why didn't Ula himself give Rav Ashi's answer? He should have said, I myself quoted in Rabbi Yochanan's name the idea of a karfeif, that it's a karmelis and yet it's a Rishus HaYachid at the same time. So that should have been Ula's teretz. So why didn't Ula give that teretz and instead offered another teretz? Ela Ula, my time, Ula, Amar Kishmaitse, Amar Loch, Ula will answer to you. E de Islam Achitzais, if like Rav Ashi said, that this bikkah in Masechta Taharis is speaking about a bikkah which has a wall around it, then bikkah korla, would you call it a bikkah karfifi? The name should have been karfif, it shouldn't have been called a bikkah. And that's why Ula felt it was a doichik to answer it speaking about a karfif, even though he's the one who said this halach in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore Ula gave his own teretz. For Rav Ashi, what does Rav Ashi respond to Ula's reason? For Rav Ashi, Rishus HaYachid Ktani. Rav Ashi says, as much as you think my answer is a doichik, that it's called a bikkah instead of a karfev, I think your answer is a bigger doichik, because you're saying that it's really not a Rishus HaYachid, it's really a karmelis. It's only called a Rishus HaYachid to differentiate from Hilchis Tumah, where it's called Rishus HaRabim. That, to me, is a bigger doichik, and therefore I like my teretz, where it is really a Rishus HaYachid, but it has a halacha, legabi carrying dalet amis, of a karmelis. Continues the Gemara. We learned before, there's a yam, bikkah, and it's stavnis and vakarmelis. And the Gemara wants to know, vakarmelis, atukula nami lav karmelis ninu, aren't all the other places also karmelis? What's so special about this karmelis? What are you trying to add with the word karmelis? Ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Rav Yochanan, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, le'nitzricha el l'keren zavis ha'smuch l'rishus harabim, that this karmelis is trying to add a new area, and that is a corner house that is near to the Rishus HaRabim. Rashi has two explanations. The first explanation is that this house is indented from the Rishus HaRabim, as opposed to the other houses that are right next to it. And Rashi's second explanation is that the house is triangular in shape as it approaches the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore on both sides of the triangle there is an area where the Rabim can go in there, off from the actual Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says, the Afal gav the zimni d'dachki bei Rabim, in this Keren Zavis. Sometimes the Rabim push their way into when it's too crowded in the Rishus HaRabim itself. And they go in there, but kiven d'loy nicha tashmishte, since it's not very convenient to go there, because according to the first pshat in Rashi, the indentation is blocked on both sides by houses, and therefore it's difficult to walk there. One will have to immediately go back into the regular Rishus HaRabim. Or if you learn it's a triangular shape, also the person is blocked by the triangle from walking straight through. So it's not a convenient area to be in next to the triangle. Therefore, it's not considered a Hilich Rabim area. And Ki Karmelis Dami, therefore, it has a halachic status of Karmelis. And this is the special case that is added with the word Karmelis in the Brisa that we mentioned before. Ki asa Rav Dimi amar Rav Yochanan, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Bein o amudin nidin ki Karmelis, that the pillars that were erected in the Rishus HaRabim for the merchants to hang their merchandise for sale, and these amudim were put in the Rishus HaRabim haphazardly, so people walking Bein HaMudim, that area is Nidin Karmelis. It has a halachic status of a Karmelis. It's not considered a convenient Makam Hiluch of the Rabim where the masses go. My Taima, as the Gemara explains, what is the reason why it's called a Karmelis? Afal Gav the Darsu B'Rabim, even though people do walk there, but Kivin D'Loy Mestani L'Behedjes, since they can't walk there straight, they have to zigzag around the Amudim. Kekarmelis Damya, it's not really a convenient area to pass through, and therefore it has a halachic status of a Karmelis. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Zeira said in the name of Rav Yehuda, Itztaba, the benches, Shelefnei Amudim, where the merchants sit, and these benches are in front of the pillars. Nidun Kekarmelis, that area has a halach of a Karmelis, because again, the people are not able to walk through there very easily because the merchants are sitting on these benches. So the Gemara says, Lamandi Amar Bein HaMudim, according to the first opinion that Bein HaMudim are considered a Karmelis, Kol Shekein Itztabit. So certainly the area around the benches is certainly considered a Karmelis, because it's even harder to go through the benches than to go through the pillars. So if the between the pillars is a Karmelis, certainly the Itztaba area is a Karmelis. But Laman Diomer Itztaba, according to the Man Diomer, who says that Itztaba is considered a Karmelis, so it's only Itztaba that is considered. Itztaba hu d'lo nicha tashmishtei. It's only Itztaba where it's not easy to, it's not convenient to use that area. Avo bein amudim, but between the pillars, the nicha tashmishtei, where it is more convenient to travel through, loy, according to the second explanation, they would consider bein amudim not to be a Karmelis, and rather it is considered a rishus harab. Lishnach rinna, there's another variation of this halacha, avol bein amudim, between the pillars, the zimn and the darsi le rabim, where sometimes the rabim go through there, even though they don't walk there as much as they do through the regular Rishus HaRabim. It has halacha k'Rishus HaRabim damya. It is, according to the second explanation, only Itztaba is considered a Karmelis. But Bein HaMudim, where the masses sometimes go through, it is considered a Rishus HaRabim. The Rush and the Run, in fact, do not have the first distinction between Nicha Tashmishtei or not. The only variation that they quote is this second variation of Zimna de Darsalei Rabim, that the Bein Amudim, sometimes people go there, it's a Rishus Rabim. It's the people very infrequently go there. It has a halacha of a Carmelis. Amar Rabba Bar Shila Amar Rav Chisda. Continues the Gemara that Rabba Bar Shila said in the name of Rav Chisda, Levena Skufa, if you have an upright brick, Rishus Rabim, and it's standing in the Rishus Rabim, Vizorik, and someone threw a sticky item, which would either be a fat fig or a type of clay that would adhere onto the surface of the brick, v'toch b'faneh, and it's stuck onto the face of the brick, chayiv. One would be chayiv for throwing something dalet amis in the Rishus HaRab al-gaba. However, if this fat fig or clay lands on top of the brick, then potter. Then the person would be potter. Rashi explains that the bricks in the time of Chazal had a dimension of 3 by 3, which means that the surface of the brick facing heaven and the bottom of the brick facing earth were 3 tefachim wide and 3 tefachim long. The thickness of the brick, and we're looking at the brick as it would be placed in a structure, the thickness of the brick or its height varied. Sometimes it was more than 3, sometimes it was less than 3 tefachim. So now the halacha is that if someone threw this fat fig 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim and it got stuck to the face, not to the top, not to the bottom, but to the face of the brick, chayiv. And Rashi explains he would be chayiv in one of two cases. Either that the height of the brick was less than 3 tefachim, and as we'll soon see in the Gemara, then the brick becomes bottle to the Rishus HaRabim. So when he threw 4 amos from the beginning of Rishus HaRabim and it landed on the face of the brick, which is, or on the top of the brick even, if it's less than 3 tefachim from the ground, it's considered that it landed on the ground, and he's chayiv for throwing 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim. Or if it's under 10 tefachim and it's on the face of the brick and it's looking down, the fat fig is looking down at the Rishus HaRabim beneath it, so once again, that has halacha of landing in a Rishus HaRabim. However, says Rashi, if it landed on top, we have halacha that between 3 and 10 tefachim. If it's dalid al dalid, it would have a halacha of a Carmelis. If it's less than dalid al dalid, it would have halacha of makom ptur. And Rashi explains that those halachas of Carmelis and Makom Ptur are when it lands on top of the brick, because then it is landing on something that has a unique usage. It's considered a separate Rishus, and therefore it either has the halacha of a Carmelis or of a Makom Ptur. Here we are talking the Gemara where it landed on the face of the brick, and it's overlooking the Rishus HaRabim. So then, even if it's between 3 and 10 tefachim, since it's looking at the Rishus HaRabim, it has a din of the Rishus HaRabim, and one would be chayiv. Al-gaba potter. The Gemara continues that on top it would be potter, and Abai v'Rava, Damar Tarvayu, Abai v'Rava both say, when is it potter if it lands on top of the brick? V'hu shegavoya shloisha, if it is 3 tefachim high. But if it's less than 3 tefachim, as we mentioned before, even it would be on top of the brick, but the brick is considered batel to the Rishus HaRabim, it's not considered its own Rishus, and therefore it would be, in that case, it would be chayiv for being zarik dalet amis in the Rishus HaRabim. But here it's potter on top because we're speaking about its gavoya shleisha. It is 3 tefachim high, therefore it's its own Rishus, and therefore, in our case where we said the brick is 3 by 3, it's not even 4 by 4, so that would have halacha of a makom ptur, and the person would be potter and mutter to throw it, the dalet amis, in the Rishus HaRabim. It's three tvachim high, says Abaye v'Rava, and nobody steps on it, and therefore it's not considered batal to the rishus rabbim. Avol hizmi v'higi, but different types of thorns. Afal gav deloy gviyish loisha, even though it's not three tvachim high, that would be considered its own rishus. It's not batal to rishus rabbim because nobody wants to step on thorns; they might get injured, and therefore, even less than three tvachim is not batal to rishus rabbim. It's considered a makom ptur, and the person would be potter if he threw the dalet amos in rishus rabbim. The chiyah bar Rav Amar, chiyah bar Rav said, afilu hizmi v'higi, even thorns. If a person has the proper foot attire and he's not worried about getting hurt with the thorns, he'll step on top of the thorns. So if it's less than three tefachim from the ground, it would be bottled to the rishus rabbim, and it would have halacha rishus rabbim. Avol tsoi eloi, but excrement, even if he's wearing shoes, the proper foot gear, he would not want to step into excrement, and therefore that would be considered a separate rishus, and he would not be chayav for throwing dalet amos and rishus rabbim. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says afilu tsoya, that as the Rishonim explained, since we have halach of lavud, that anything that's less than three tefachim from the ground is considered bottle to the ground, so even such a thing as excrement is considered bottle to the ground, and if he throws dalet amos and rishus rabbim and it lands on tsoya, on excrement, he would be chayav for zorek dalet amos rishus rabbim, because the tsoya is bottled to the rishus rabbim, it becomes part and parcel of the rishus rabbim. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabba debay Rav Shila. Rabba from the yeshiva of Rav Shila said, ki also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to the Bavel, once again he said, Omer Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rav Yochanan, a certain halacha concerning karmelis. Ein karmelis pusum me'arbo, as we've mentioned before, a karmelis cannot be less than dalet al dalet tvachim. If it's less than dalet al dalet tvachim, it's a makom ptur, it's no longer a karmelis. V'amar Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes said a second halacha concerning karmelis, v'toifesis arasora, that a karmelis reaches up till 10 tvachim. And the Gemara doesn't understand exactly what is the meaning of Rav Sheshes, that it reaches up till 10 tvachim. Mai, v'toifesis arasora, what does it mean that it reaches up till 10 tvachim? E lema, if it means the ikka mechitza asora hu dahavi karmelis vi loy havi karmelis. If it means that it must have 10 tefachim in order to be a karmelis, and only then is it a karmelis. And if it doesn't have 10 tefachim, it is not a karmelis. Veloy, is that true? Is that true that if it has less than 10 tefachim, it's not a karmelis? V'amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, Amar Rav. Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, who said in the name of Rav, the following halacha. Ba'i yishayim b'toy chasara, a house that inside the house, the walls do not have 10 tefachim. The kiryav, but the roof, the thickness of the roof, mashlim or lasara, it complements it and completes it. And on top of the roof, if one is standing on top of the roof, there now are 10 tefachim from the top of the roof till the ground inside the house. So al gagoid alach is on the roof, mutu l'taltu b'kuli. One is allowed to carry throughout the whole roof because he's standing on top of a rishus hayachid. It is 10 tefachim high and it's 4x4. So he's like allowed to carry there like he is in any other house. But betoichoi, inside the house, which does not have tefachim in height, a metaltlum boy, elad alad amis. Then it has a halach of a karmelis, and one can only carry there, as the din d'rabbanan is concerning a karmelis, only dalad amis. So we see clearly from this halacha that a karmelis does not have 10 tefachim. Once it has 10 tefachim, it becomes a rishus hayachid. So how could you tell me that toifes arasora means that it must have 10 tefachim in order to be a karmelis? Ella, the opposite. Maiva toifes arasora, do you know what it means? That it reaches up till high. It means ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Not up till yud tefachim, including yud tefachim, but until yud and not yud. The ad yud hu davi karmelis. Up till yud tefachim, it's considered a karmelis. L'maylam yud tefachim, but once you get to 10 tefachim and higher, loy havi karmelis, then that rishus is not considered a karmelis, rather it's considered a rishus hayachid. V'chi ha, the armalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. And as we find, Similarly, that Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, this halacha, that a karmelis is only a rishus of a karmelis under 10 tefachim. He said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana, you sharp Talmud Chacham, like the heavy b'mili de Shabbato l'mayla miyud, don't discuss anything concerning Hilcha Shabbos more than yud tefachim. So the Gemara wants to know, l'may hilchasa, what halacha was he specifically saying? What rishus is there that is not above yud tefachim? Ilema, if you're going to say, the ain rishus hayachid l'may l'miyud, that a rishus hayachid is never higher than 10 tefachim, that's not true. V'am Rav Chizda said, no, at kano, if somebody stuck a pole rishus hayachid, in a rishus hayachid, let's say you have a field that's surrounded with four walls, And this kana, Rashi says, first of all, stama, two lines from the bottom, Rashi says, noatz kana, stame, ein rach of dalet. A regular kana is not wide, 4x4. And the Gemara later will tell us, will discuss, that it seems that Rav Chizda doesn't hold of the necessity of a Rishus Sayachid being dalet al dalet. This pole was stuck in Rishus HaYachid, Vizark V'nach Al-Gabov, and he threw something from a Rishus HaRabim, and it landed on top of the pole, Afilu Gavoya Me'amo. Even if the pole is 100 amas high, it's way above the parameters of the height of the wall that's surrounding the Rishus HaYachid. Even if it's 100 amas up in the sky, Chayiv, he's chayiv for throwing from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Mipnei, the reason is, Rishus HaYachid, Oyla Adla Rekia, because a Rishus HaYachid goes up till the heaven. So we see clearly from here that a Rishus HaYachid is a Rishus HaYachid, even above Asar Tvachim. So that cannot be the lesson that Rav Sheshes was telling us of a Tefesis Ad Asara. Now we turn to Amud Beis. Ella, the Ein Rishus HaRabim, L'mayla Miyud. Maybe he's trying to tell us, Rav Sheshes, that a Rishus HaRabim is not above Yud. So the Gemara says, Masnisani, that is a Mishnah, and there would be no reason for Shmuel, who's saying this to Rav Yehuda, there would be no reason for Shmuel to tell us that a Rishus HaRabim is not L'mayla Miyud. It's an often a Mishnah. Further in Perek Hazorik, this none we learned in the Mishnah in Hazorik. Hazorik dalet amas bekoisel. If somebody throws in a Rishus HaRabim 4 amas and it lands in a koisel, so it depends. L'mayla miyutvachim. If it lands above yutvachim, kizorik ba'aver. That has aloch as if he is throwing in the air. It's like in a makom ptur, and the person is not chayiv for throwing 4 amas in a Rishus HaRabim. But l'mata miyutvachim. If it lands on the wall, and as we'll see in the Gemara further, it's speaking about the fat fig that got stuck to the wall, and it is less than 10 tefachim from the ground, lamata miyud tefachim, kizarek baretz, that's considered as if he threw it on the ground, and he threw dalad amis, and he's chayav for being zarek dalad amis in Rishus HaRabim. So what do we see clearly from this Mishnah? That someone who throws above 10 tefachim in the Rishus HaRabim is like throwing in a makom ptur. So we see clearly from that Mishnah that there's no Rishus HaRabim above yud tefachim. So Shmuel would not have to teach us this. It's enough in a Mishnah. Ella karmelis. It must be that Shmuel was telling Rabbi Yehuda, Shinana, you sharp one, don't learn anything in this Rishus above yud tefachim. Which Rishus was he referring to? A karmelis. There ain't karmelis l'mayla miyud. That there's no karmelis above yud tefachim. So when Rav Sheshes says v'tefesis ad asara, he meant the same halacha that Shmuel was teaching to Rav Yehuda, that there's no karmelis above asara tefachim, just as there is no Rishus HaRabim above asara tefachim. And Rashi on Amud Aleph tells us that this halacha, that there's no karmelis above asara tefachim, is speaking about in the airspace above a bika or a yam that we mentioned before. So if something is in that airspace above Yutvachim, underneath it's a karmelis, and above Yutvachim will have halacha of being in a makom ptur. The Gemara continues, Ve'kilu bar rabbanan, mikuli rishus hayachid u'mikuli rishus harabim. These two halachas that we learned on Amud Aleph, the one of Rabdimi that a karmelis has to be dalet al dalet tefachim, and the one of Rav Sheshes that a karmelis is only up till Yutfachim. Here the Rabbanim were makel by a Carmelist to give it certain leniencies of a Rishus HaYachid and certain leniencies of a Rishus HaRab. Mikule Rishus HaYachid, the leniency of Rishus HaYachid is the Ikam Makam Arbo Hudav Yekarmelist. That only if it's 4x4 is it a Carmelist. V'iloi, if it doesn't have an area of 4x4 Tvachim, it's a Makam Tur, which is exactly the same halacha concerning a Rishus HaYachid. V'iloi makam tur ba'almahu, it remains a plain makam tur. And secondly, mikuli rishus harabim, what Rav Sheisha said, that it only goes up till yud, that is from the leniencies of rishus harabim, the ad yud tvachim hudavi karmelis, that it's only a karmelis up till yud tvachim, just like it's only a rishus harabim up till yud tvachim, l'maylam yud tvachim le'avi karmelis, above 10 tvachim, just like by rishus harabim, it's a makam tur, and not a rishus harabim, as opposed to a rishus hayachid, which goes up to the rakia. So too, a Carmelist has less leniency of Rishus HaRabim, that it's only a Carmelist up to Yutvachim, but above Yutvachim, it remains a Mokum Tur. Continues the Gemara, Gufa, we learned before, Omer Rav Gidl, Omer Rav Chiyah Bar Yosef, Omer Rav. Rav Gidl said, in the name of Rav Chiyah Bar Yosef, who said in the name of Rav, Bayis She'ein Toicha Yud, if you have a house that doesn't have the walls inside the house of 10 Tvachim, the Kiryav and its roof, the height of its roof, mashlima yud, it complements the structure at the bottom, and it completes it up till yud tvachim. So al gagah, if somebody is standing on top of the roof, where there the house is 10 tvachim, mutu l'talta b'kula, he's allowed to carry throughout the roof because he's in a rishus hayachid. It's 10 high and 4x4. B'toichai, inside the house, without walls of yutvachim, ein metaltim boy al b'dalat amis. That has a halacha of a karmelis, and one is only permitted to move chafetzim around for 4 amis, as the halacha is by a karmelis. Amar Abaya, said Abaya, the im chakak boy dalat al dalat. If the person who's standing inside the house, he carved out a square area of 4x4 tvachim, even though the whole floor of the house is not a 10 tvachim high. It's only that area, 4x4 tvachim. In other words, he carved out, let us say, an additional tefach in depth, and there was the length and the width were 4x4. So now we have an area in the house, not just on top of the roof of the house, but in the house where there's an area, let us say the wall was 9 tvachim, plus the additional tefach that he dug in the floor. Now it has 10 tvachim, and it's 4x4 around that area where the extra tefach was dug. So I have in this house an area of 10 high and a square of 4x4. So mutter l'talta b'kuloi, one then is allowed to carry throughout the entire house, even though the rest of the house still has walls that are only 9 tvachim high. It's only one area in the house which is 4x4 length and width and 10 tvachim high. So why can somebody carry throughout the house even where there is no 10 tvachim? My time, havichurei rishus hayachid. Because the rest of the house, the rest of the floor of the house is considered as a whole of the rishus hayachid. Just like if somebody has a wall surrounding Rishus HaYachid, a hole in that wall facing the Rishus HaYachid would have a halacha of Rishus HaYachid, the Chure Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid Damu, that the holes of Rishus HaYachid are considered like a Rishus HaYachid, and therefore the rest of the floor in this case has a halacha like the square, which is 4x4 and 10 high, and therefore it's considered subservient to that square, and it too maintains the halachic status of a Rishus HaYachid, and one can carry throughout the whole house. The Itmar, we learned, Chure Rishus HaYachid, the holes that are facing in a wall, a Rishus HaYachid, Kirshus HaYachid, they themselves have the halacha of Rishus HaYachid. Chure Rishus HaRabim, the holes in the walls of a Rishus HaRabim are considered, there's a machlaikis. Abaya Oimer Kirshus HaRabim, dummy. Abaya says they too are considered. Just like in the Rishus HaYachid, the holes are considered a part of the Rishus HaYachid, so too in Rishus HaRabim, those holes are considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. And Rava Aymer, Rava disagrees, and Rava says, Lav Rishus HaRabim Dami, they do not have a halachic status of a Rishus HaRabim. Amrle Ravel Abaya. Rava challenged Abaya from the following. Lidi dach, according to your opinion, the amrat that you said, churei rishus harabim, kirishus harabim damu, that the holes facing rishus harabim have the halachic status of rishus harabim. I have a question from something we learned before. Maishna miha dechiasa ravdimi amr rabbi Yochanan. Loi nitzrucha el lekaren zavis hasmuch lerishus harabim. We learned on Amud Aleph that what did that extra word in the braisa, carmelis, what did that add? It added a case of a corner. As we explained from Rashi, either the house was indented from the Rishus HaRabim, or it came to the Rishus HaRabim as a triangle. And either way, some people used to push their way from the crowd in the Rishus HaRabim into this area. And that area, since the masses do not go there, it's only some people, the Rabbanan gave it a halachic status of a carmelis. Like Nitzricha, El the Karen Zav Zasmuch L'Rishus HaRabim. This is what Rav Dimi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the word Carmelis is adding to the other cases of Biko and Yam. V'tehevi, Rav asked a question to Abaya, let it be, K'chori Rishus HaRabim. If you came up with the concept that Chori Rishus HaRabim have Halacha Rishus HaRabim, why in the case of Karen Zavis does that have a Halacha of Carmelis? It should be considered, just like the case of the Rishus HaYachid, where the rest of the house is bottled to the 4x4, which has 10 tefachim high. So you can carry throughout the whole house, because it has halacha of Rishus HaYachid. So according to you, the same would apply in Rishus HaRabim. So according to you, Abaya, that area next to the Karen Zavis, where some people have gone into from the Rishus HaRabim, let that too be considered a Chari Rishus HaRabim, a whole of the Rishus HaRabim, and it should have halachic status of Rishus HaRabim. And since we do not say that, I have a proof, says Rav, against you, Abaya, that Chorei Rishus HaRabim do not have a halachic status of Rishus HaRabim. Abaya responded, no. Ha, som le'nichat hashmishtei. In that area where there is no real thoroughfare, because one is blocked either by the triangle or by the other houses, if this house is indented, so one doesn't have really a clear way to go, it's not convenient to go into that area. So therefore, it is not considered a Rishus HaRabim, even though some people go there, it's only considered a carmelis. But over here, where you have a hole in a wall, nichat hashmishtei, people can use that hole in the wall. So it is convenient to have it. And therefore, here it would be considered Chari Rishus HaRabim, Kirshus HaRabim Dam. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, which we've learned before on this Amud, Hazayrik Dalet Amis Bekaisel. If somebody threw 4 Amis in a Rishus HaRabim and it landed on a wall, Lamaila Miyud, if it landed above Yotvachim from the ground, the Bach puts in the word Tvachim, Kizorek Ba'avir. It's as if the person is throwing in the air. It's a makom tur. It didn't land on anything, any Rishus HaRabim, and therefore the person would be potter. Lamata miyutvachim, but if it landed less than 10 tvachim, kizarek boritz, it's considered as if it landed on the ground. Vavinim bo, and we had the following question, my kizarek boritz. What does it mean that it's as if it fell on the ground? 4 amas and Rishus HaRabim? V'holay nach. It went to the wall and it didn't land. So how could we be mechayev him for throwing 4 amos and Rishus HaRabim? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, "Bedvei l'shmeinishanu," that we're speaking about a fat fig and it got stuck to the wall and it's under 10 tefachim. And as we learned before, it is facing beneath it the Rishus HaRabim. So in such a situation, it has a halacha of the Rishus HaRabim and one is chayev for zayrik dalet amos. But now I have a question. We're going to have a question on Abaya. Ve'i sal kedat chayre Rishus HaRabim k'Rishus HaRabim damu. If according to Abaya, the holes of a Rishus HaRabim have a halachic status like Rishus HaRabim, lama li'lukma b'dveila. Why do you have to say that Mishnah in Perek HaZorik is speaking about that a fat fig got stuck to the wall, which may seem to be a dochek to say that, speaking about that unique case. Lukma, let us say that the Mishnah is speaking about a case which would seem to be more prevalent, bitzror, a pebble, the chayfetz, or any other article. He's not just throwing a fat fig. He's throwing almost anything else. Udenach b'char. And there was a hole in the wall, and it landed in the hole. So, according to you, we should say char rishus ram rishus ram damu and ischai for being zarek daladamis. And since we did not say that it's speaking about such a case, it would seem that char rishus ram are not rishus ram. So there were two answers that Abaya gave to this question. Zimne mishani law. Sometimes Abaya would answer shiny tshuar v'chayfet. You know why I'd rather say it's speaking about a fat fig? Because a pebble or any other object, what would normally happen if it hits the wall, and even if the wall has a hole, that it should just fit into the hole? Normally, the meheder vasi, that normally it would ricochet off the wall, off the hole, and would fall back into the Rishus Rabbim, and it would be within the Dalet Amos. We're speaking about a case where the wall is exactly Dalet Amos from where he threw it. So it would come out, it would fall back to Rishus Rabbim and not travel the entire Dalet Amos, not land on a place Dalet Amos away from where the thrower was throwing it. So that's one teretz that Abai gave, and that's why he'd rather say it's speaking about a Tvela Shemena which got stuck to the wall. And Zimni Mishanila, sometimes Abai would offer a different teretz to this question. Bekoiso de Les Bechur. It must be speaking about a case where there is no hole in the wall. If there'd be a hole in the wall and it would land in the hole, in fact, it would be Chayrushus Ram Kshus Rab. But I'll prove to you that this wall had no holes. Why? Mimai. What's my proof? Midik Tani Reisha. Since it says at the beginning of the Mishnah, Zorak Lamailam Yutvachim Kizorak Ba'avir, that if somebody threw this object above 10 Tvachim and Rishus Rabim, it's considered as if he threw it in the air, that it's in a Makam Tur, and he's not Chayiv for throwing Dalet Amos and Rishus Rabim. Ve'i Sal Kedait B'Koysel Deis Bechor. If you're going to tell me that this Mishnah is speaking about a case where an object landed on or in a wall that has a hole in it, and if it's below 10 tefachim, it's Rishus Rab. If it's above 10 tefachim, it's a Makam Tur, a Mai Kizark Ba'avir. Why is it considered like he threw it in the air and he's Potter? Hanach Bechor. It landed in a hole. And if it landed in a hole, the wall is undoubtedly 4x4 tefachim high, 4x4 tefachim in length and width, and it's above Yutvachim, so it's a Rishus Hayachid. He should be Chayiv for carrying from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Hayachid. Forget about being Mavir Dalet Amos. He made a Hoitzah from Rishus Rabim into the hole, which serves as a Rishus Hayachid. V'chi Teiman, if you're going to tell me, Masnis in the Lesbu Dalet Al Dalet, our mission is speaking about a case where the hole does not have Dalid al Dalid, and therefore that's why it would not be considered Rishus Hayachid, and it would only be considered a Makam Tur. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Chiya, Zorg Lamailam Yutvachim. In a case where somebody threw something in a wall above 10 Tvachim, Vaholcha v'nacha b'chur, and the object went and landed in a hole, Kolshu, even though it's a very small hole, Bonu l'machloikis Rameir v'rabonin. We have come to the machloikis between Rav Meir and Rabbanan, which is a machloikis concerning mezuzah. The Rav Meir, Sava Rav Meir holds, as we'll soon explain, by mezuzah, chaykin lahashlin, that we carve out in order to complete the necessary measurement. The Rabbanan, Sava and the Rabbanan hold, ain chaykin lahashlin. We do not carve out to complete the necessary measurement. The machloikis Rav Meir and Rabbanan is concerning mezuzah. The halacha is that a door, an entranceway, does not require a mezuzah unless it is 10 tefachim high and it is 4 tefachim wide. Now the case here is speaking about where someone has an entranceway that's in the form of an arch, and indeed at the bottom of the archway there is an area of 4 tefachim in width, but as the archway curves, although the height of the archway is 10 tefachim, but to the top of the archway there is no 4 tefachim wide. It has become smaller. So Rav Meir says that it is still chayv in mezuzah because of the concept of chaykin l'hashlam. If there is substance in the archway exterior in the brickwork around the archway where we could carve that out, theoretically, we could carve it out to make it a square which would be four tefachim in width. So we consider it as if it was done. And we're talking about now not a round archway, but an entranceway that is square. And it's four tefachim wide and ten tefachim high. However, the Rabbanan hold, no. Ain chayk lashlo. If you actually did it, fine. But theoretically, to consider it as if you have carved out an area four tefachim wide by ten high, that we do not say. So the Gemara is telling us that since there's a stam Mishnah in Perek Hazorek, the Mishnah of Hazorek Dalet Amos Bekais Lamaylam Yutvachem Kizorek Ba'avir Lamatim Yutvachem Kizorek Ba'aretz is a stam Mishnah. We have a rule, stam Mishnah tells us Rashi is Rab Meir he. So Rab Meir Lashitasei holds Chaykik in Lahashlam, that we do operate with the possibility of carving something out. And if so, why is the din that lamayla miyutvachim is kizarek ba'avir, even if it landed in a small little hole, we would apply the concept of chaykin lahashlim, ramer l'shitasai, and then we would say that he actually made it land in a hole that was dalid by dalid, chaykin lahashlim, and therefore, why is he potter? Because it landed in a makam tur. He should be chayev for carrying from Rishusa, for throwing something from Rishusa Rabim into the hole, which now, based on the concept of Chayk Lashlam, has a halachic status of Dalet al Dalet, and it's 10 high, it would be a Rishusa Yachid. So why in fact, does Rav Meir hold that your potter, El Alav Shmam, you know, must be, because we're not talking about a Kaisel that has a hole. We're not able to apply the principle of Chaykin Lahashlev. El Alav Shmam, you know, the Kaisel of the Les Mechor. This is a proof that it must be speaking about a case where a wall did not have a hole. Shmam, you know, this is an excellent proof. And therefore, the only way that we could understand that Mishnah is that we're speaking about a Dveila Shmeina. So Abaya remains with his opinion that Churei Rishus Rabim is Rishus Rabim Dami, and yet the Mishnah in Hazorek, there are two answers why we could not apply the concept of Churei Rishus Rabim, Rishus Rabim over there in that Mishnah, either because the item is going to ricochet back into the Dalet Amis and he won't be Chayiv for Zorek Dalet Amis, and therefore it had to be speaking about a Dveila Shmeina, or because, as we proved, the wall did not have a hole in it, and therefore that we could not say the case was speaking about a wall with a hole. The Gemara ends, Shema Mina, it's a good Raya, and Abai is able to answer his question from the Mishnah in Perek Hazorek.